Hello and welcome to this edition of Top of Mind Florida. I'm Michael Williams.
And I'm Brian Crowley.
And Brian knows why I'm excited today. Drum roll, please, for the resident.
Pray tell, why are you excited?
Because it's not quite Star Trek, but it's actually even better than that. We have Nicole Cummings joining us from L3 Harris Aerojet Rocketdyne in Palm Beach County. And you are the RL-10 Exploration Upper Stage Program Manager, which in plain English means you are helping build the rockets that will ultimately someday send us back to the moon.
Yes.
How cool is that?
Well, I'm looking for getting a condo there. So, I mean, I'm kind of excited.
Good. Keep him in mind if he's sailing by, Nicole. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
You know, all kidding aside, what a job. Do you ever pinch yourself? Tell us what you're doing right now and how you ended up there. I mean, you're part of getting us back to the moon someday. You and your team.
Yes,
and I know you'll give a lot of credit to them. But
absolutely.
Talk about that.
It's exciting. I do pinch myself all the time. I can't believe this is me and that I'm here and I'm in this wonderful career and that I'm part of taking our nation to another level. And that's really what Artemis is doing. It's a great program. We are sending a crew back to the moon in over 50 years, and it's just exciting stuff. And I can't believe I'm here, but I'm excited about what's to come.
I got a chance to visit out there a few years ago and to watch the expertise, the engineering brilliance, and also the increasingly diverse workforce. And
yes.
I know that's important to you, all of it coming together for you out there on a day-to-day, week-to-week, year-to-year basis.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I work with some brilliant people, all from different walks, different lives, and I've learned a lot through working with them. And when you bring up diversity, it's just so broad. It's just from the young to the wise, all that we all bring to the table. It's just a beautiful thing in coming together and being part of this historic moment.
Well, Brian Crowley, who's reading 24/7 all the time, this guy's he's his own Google. You actually came across, I remember the day you called me and said, we have got to get Nicole Cummings on. And tell our audience why, because it led to what is a fascinating story about some well-deserved recognition.
Well, in brief, I'll let you tell most of your story, but, she went to FAU. She had a father who kind of nudged her in the right directions and encouraged her to do the kinds of things she's doing. And I guess her choice in life was, am I going to be a rocket engineer or do car repair? I guess you'd
something like that, really it was. That's my father was.
Oh, you got to tell us more about that.
It's funny. I always say my career started in the classroom. It really did. So when I was in high school, I was part of a program called
SECME. Wellington,
at Wellington High School. I was really not that child that was involved in a lot, and I had a teacher that really pulled me in, and where I was like, oh, all the cool kids are hanging out over there. She used to have pizza and snacks and music, but she really was motivated to get us into the STEM, the engineering, and I was just going for the fun. And while we were there, we started building these bridges, mousetraps, and then she started putting us to compete. And Wellington High School back then, we just took off, and we were winning all of these awards, and FAU was a part of this program, and that's how I got exposed to FAU, and it just took off from there. So I always say my career started in the classroom, and that's why it's important for me to get back in the classroom.
Was there a particular moment where it really clicked for you? Like, yeah, this is me. This is what I do.
My father telling me I had no choice and I'm going.
That'll do it. I remember a quote from him. He said, you're going to major in something hard.
Yes. So what it was during this time, FAU used to offer a scholarship for SECME students. And Ms. Simmons, who was the teacher who got me involved, she handed us all the application and had us fill it out. I got the scholarship, but I didn't tell my father. She being the wonderful teacher she is, she did call and say, hey, did Nicole let you know about this? And he said, you got a scholarship? Oh, you're going. And that was it. There was no debate. There was nothing. You're going. And that's how I ended up there. And I did kick and scream, but it was the best decision I had ever made. And I'm grateful to both my parents. My mother and father really encouraged me and always supported me. It got hard. And I tell my students that all the time. It will get hard. But when you push through and you get through the other side, that's where the beauty starts. So I am so grateful for their encouragement, for their push, and just all of the teachers and even parents that were involved in those times that really helped us all, you know, rise to the top in the engineering.
Had you always had an aptitude for math and the sciences even as a youngster, but it just wasn't something where that was an avenue you wanted to go and suddenly they jump-started it in you?
Not really.
Yeah. I'm just building really. Rocket ships now. I have no aptitude.
But that's part of the messaging that I tell students. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you have that fear of math and science because you think it's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, we put it in our own mind that it's hard. But I tell students, you just give it a chance. You know, it's actually fun. And back then, I was just like, math, science, no. And I thought I wanted to be a pediatrician, honestly, until, I went to the hospital one time and sick babies. And I was like, this may not have worked out for me, you know. Right. And I'm actually glad that I'm here. But at that time, no, it wasn't ever a thought. And it was that spark in being in that program and winning and feeling the satisfaction and just that accomplishment mm-hmm. that started saying, you know what, I can do this. And I think that's what's important with students is give them that ability or give them that vision to say, you can do this. Because sometimes you don't know that you have the ability to really excel.
And your dad, I saw his direct quote. He said he not only once you got accepted to FAU, he continued to push in a loving way, say, you're going to major in something that is difficult.
Yeah,
what was that conversation like?
It was. And he says, you know, you can always take the easy way out. But the hard way sometimes will get you more accomplishments. You'll feel more accomplished with your outcome. And then it was just the whole, you know, if you go the easy route, the job market might be saturated. But if you take something that's a little bit more difficult, mm-hmm. you might open up more opportunity. And you know, that did stick with me. And I had, so true story, I was a makeup artist and an engineer for years, for years. And so I always told students.
So the astronauts looked really good.
Yeah. Exactly. So I took both talents of myself and I did the passion, which at the time was the arts, and I did the engineering, which also became a passion. And I tell students all the time, too, you can do anything you want. And it doesn't have to be one thing. You can branch out. So I did take my father's push and nudge, and I also did the passion that I liked on the side, and I just brought them together.
You realize now L3 Harris is going to have to set up a new makeup room, because when you get back, they're going to say, oh, wait a minute, you didn't tell us about that.
Yeah.
So you graduate from FAU,
yep.
And then you went on, earned another degree. Talk about that and the arc that took you to what was Aerojet Rocketdyne, now L3 Harris / Aerojet Rocketdyne, here in Palm Beach County. Sometimes people forget that, Brian, that
we have
of the premier space exploration companies when it comes to engine work, design, and building right here in Palm Beach County.
Talk about what took
you from school to there.
So what happened was, and going back to the story, I graduated and did not find a job right away.
Mm.
And so then that's why I was in that makeup industry. I was actually a manager in the industry, just trying to find a side hustle. Yeah. And so then I said, you know, I'll start my master's. And I decided to start my master's. And then an opportunity opened up. And that's a really long, fun story. But my brother used to do entertainment. And there was somebody at the radio station said, hey, where do you want to work? And I said, I'm really trying to get in Pratt & Whitney. That was just my goal at that time. I wanted to be in Pratt & Whitney. And someone said, well, you know, the guy at the radio station, he works there. Why don't you talk to him and see how you can get in? And I was like, really? So I got all dressed up, and I heard he had an event that night down in Clematis, and I was like, I'm going to find this guy. And I really did. It's a true story. Walked down there, and I was like, hey, I heard about Pratt & Whitney, and he was like, well, why don't you send me your resume? I was like, huh. Got into the car.
I always party with my resume nearby.
Right? So anyways, he did submit it, and I got the call for the internship. And then at the same time, I had an opportunity to go to, it was right out of Rochester, New York, and it was cold. I had got a full-time position offer there, and then I had this decision. Do I want to go in the cold, or do I want to take the chance with the internship? And I took the internship, best decision I made, and that's how I ended up in the space industry. So
does this mean if you had an opportunity to go to the moon, you wouldn't go because it's cold?
You know, I might second guess it, but I'm going. I don't like cold weather, but I'm going. But I did take that internship, and that's what got me in. I went in as an intern, and then I walked around and told everybody, hey, I want to stay. And can you find me a full-time position? And they found me, my hiring manager at the time, she found me a full-time position in testing.
And how many years now there?
20 years. Wow. Actually, my internship started in June, so I really did hit 20 years already with the internship.
Wow.
But I hired in September.
And you had to knock down barriers there, too. I mean, largely male-dominated workforce. I'm not talking just about what was then Aerojet Rocketdyne, now L3 Harris Aerojet Rocketdyne. But in the industry, men dominated that. You knocked down some glass ceilings in a very positive, wonderful way. Talk about that journey, because it then will take us to the part of conversation where you inspire a lot of people now.
You know, so sometimes we think sometimes, and I say this to myself, at that time, I think I might have been holding myself back. Yeah. But the people that gave me some of the greatest advice and opportunity were men. And they were some of my biggest mentors. And they helped me get past that fear. You know, and I had to.
What was your fear? What was holding you back?
It was myself. It was my own insecurity. It was my own thought process. It was my own fears of maybe I didn't belong. Maybe I didn't deserve the seat. And it was a lot of great mentoring, men and women in all backgrounds, that helped me to say, you belong here. And it was, operate on your skills and stop, get the rest out of your head. And that's really what I talk about, is I let all backgrounds know you deserve a seat. And your skills will talk for themselves. So get in there and do the work, and do it to the best of your ability, and that will bring you up to the top. And I say that's my story, you know. I got out of my own head, and then I just got deep into the job of, I love this, I want to rise, and I just walked around and I talked to people. I don't have one mentor. I still probably have one for every aspect of my life. And I just talked to people who inspired me. I tried to understand their story of how can I get there.
You're part of a very small club. I was driving in this morning about 8 o'clock, and I saw the moon. It was up, still beautiful. You could see it in full. You're part of a very small club that will eventually help us get back there. I can't really imagine what that feeling's like. Try to describe it.
Oh, it's, you know, being in the industry, you would think that rocket launches are normal, and you just get used to it. You never get used to it. Every time we see a rocket launch, it's just a fascination of, I can't believe we're a part of this. I can't believe I'm a part of this. And it's every time. And
it just gives me that purpose.
That's part of my story, is it's not just a job. It feels like it's purpose. Being able to wake up and know that you are part of something greater and able to inspire. So I take the tool, which I say the job is the tool, and I lead it to the purpose. And the purpose is how we're advancing technology, how we're advancing our nation, mm-hmm. and inspiring.
So the engine that you work on, if I understand it, as Artemis is approaching the moon, that this would be like the final nudge.
The final nudge, yes.
The final RL-10. Nudge. And that's necessary because.
So the RL-10 is that engine that gives it that final nudge into the lunar orbit. So we call ourselves that little engine, but we are that little engine that could and that does.
It fires above Earth, right?
It does.
And puts you on that trajectory.
It puts you on the trajectory.
This is Earth going around, and it fires and pushes you out to the moon.
Puts you into that orbit, right. That orbit field. So it's that final nudge to get you where you need to go. Gets the crew where they need to go.
And a whole team.
It's a whole team.
What are the complications of that kind of engine?
Yeah.
You know what? We have over 50 years of success. You know, we just have the proven reliability. And it's just the complications is just, you know, coming together and making it happen. It's so proven and so reliable. Right now, it's like riding a bike. And we work very well to just keep the momentum going with the RL-10.
The RL-10 was first used on which ships? Back in the 60s, is that correct? Old Pratt Whitney?
It was RL-10.
It's origin story.
The origin was, it was Pratt & Whitney. So you heard me mention Pratt & Whitney earlier. So Pratt & Whitney is the origin of the RL-10. And as we evolved in sales, we became Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne. And then we got recently purchased by L3 Harris, right. And we became Aerojet Rocketdyne at L3 Harris Corporation. Right. So RL-10 has history back to over 60 years with Pratt & Whitney.
Wow. What a lineage to be
it
part of.
It is amazing. Yes.
You've talked a lot here. It just jumps out in the smile and the dynamism about working with students. And the reason, one of the reasons we came across your name was you have been, first of all, you're part of the FAU Hall of Fame. What was that like?
Oh, man, that was mind-blowing. It was mind-blowing because, you know what, and again, it's part of my story. And not everybody has a perfect story, and I surely did not have that perfect story. It was complicated. It was challenging. It was many days of, I don't want to do this anymore. And to go through all the challenges that I went through, and then to get on that stage as a Hall of Famer, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe this is me. Yeah. And I can't believe it came full circle. And I am on the advisory board now, and I sit there with pride because I have so many students that walk up to me all the time, and they're ready to throw in that towel, and I see the tears, and I'm just like, listen, just get through it. Just get through it. And they always ask me, what's the hardest part? To me, and this is me, the hardest part was getting through school. Once I got through school and I was in the company, it was easy from there, but it's that challenge in college. It's so many things that you're dealing with, not just the work, but some of these students, first time away from parents, first time. So that is what I take pride in, is just getting them into the industry, because so many times I see them not get there. So if I can help give them that little push to say, just persevere, push through, that's where I get the joy.
I think people might assume that you just bump into them where you happen to be. But as a matter of fact, you are making an overt part of your life story and career outside of your day job, going out and seeking out these classrooms. Talk about your efforts in that regard. You've talked about it a lot, but this isn't just something where people happen to bump into you. You've made this a concentrated part of your story that you continue to want to tell.
Yeah, because I wouldn't be there unless I saw people walk into the classroom and encourage me to get into the engineering field. So I knew the importance, because I knew I wouldn't have had this story unless I saw people encourage me to get there. So I know the importance of getting out into the community. And I've gone places where some of them have never seen an engineer walk into their classrooms. And I've had the tears.
Or an engineer of color.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I get the tears a lot. And I get the awes a lot. And I get the, can I get the picture? And can I get the autograph?
The
and
tears.
I do. I get the, at least if I do 5 appearances, I'll get at least 2 where I get crying. I get the, I can't believe you encouraged me, you helped me get over. And so then that's where I started saying, this is important.
I see you getting emotional
about
that. That's a beautiful
thing. But it's a good emotion.
A great emotion.
It's a good emotion to have.
Have you been at it long enough? Have you seen some of those students? You've been able to steer, much like you were, by somebody. Have you been able to see the fruits of that wonderful labor where some
Absolutely.
Of them are moving in that direction now?
Absolutely. I just got a phone call. I was just talking about it. One of my students from FAU, he was struggling, and he was like, I can't do this anymore. It's exhausting. It's too hard. I want to get into the space industry. I'm not finding the job. I was like, you might have to take the long road, but don't give up. You know, the door may open one day, but you have to have that perseverance. And he absolutely did. And I got the call maybe a week or two ago, and he said he got a job. I won't mention the competitor's name. But he got a job with one of our competitors in the space industry, and I am ecstatic for him. And I am so proud that he pushed through. And I'm happy that I can be a part of his story to just keep giving him that extra little encouragement that you will get there. But sometimes it's not always the short road. Sometimes, and I tell the students this all the time, you might have to take the long road there. You might have to cut a few trees down and get through the forest. But as long as you continue with the determination of where you want to go, the door may open, and it surely did for him. So that was just great hearing that.
Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
Somewhere on the beach, retired.
could you mark out that plan? We'd like to know about that one.
You know, that's a question that I get all the time. And I hope that in 10 years, I can still be a part of this story with the space program. I absolutely love it. I want to see our Artemis, our crew, go to the moon and actually step foot. So I hope to still be around in the industry and watch that first moonwalk after all these years.
You talked about your dad insisting that you do something hard. I remember JFK, 1962, I believe. I think it was in Houston. And he said, we don't do the easy things. We do them because they're hard. And went on to say, slightly paraphrasing, they test the best of us. And he was talking about the beginnings of the what would be the moon program. What was the moon program? Why generationally, and it's not just young people, but we do tend to now the easy way. I imagine that's tough work. And it's a lot of inertia to say the easy way is not necessarily the best, smartest, or most fulfilling way. But you fight that a lot. That's an inertia we all deal with.
We do. And so
why is that?
You know, it's hard. You know, it's just sometimes wrapping your mind around that hard and pushing through and letting yourself know I can do it and getting past the fears. Like when I said I had the fears. I think that's what happens with the hard. It's the fear. So sometimes if we can move that fear out of the way and say it's challenging, it might take longer, but it's attainable. I think that's when we get the breakthrough. And instead of using the words fear and hard, we may need to just change the verbiage a little bit to challenging and achievable. And that's what I'm finding when I'm getting out there, is just open up the verbiage to say, get rid of the hard, get rid of the fear. And then you'll see the sparks start to come in and you'll see the light start to go off. So it's really working with the generation. It's a little different, and understanding where they are and meeting them there and then helping to push them across.
I'm doing some work at Lynn University, and we were just talking the other day that young people are scared now going back to what you said, they're scared they won't be able to compete or outthink AI. I imagine the space industry, like every other industry, is dealing with that and trying to convince people that there's the human component that is valued. But it's not easy. We had a whole day-long discussion about it. Talk about that.
So that's a great segue to trades. I love talking about the trades because we forget about it, right? But that's a skill that I don't think is going anywhere anytime soon. And in the industry, we have so many great trades that'll get you there. And so a mechanic, you know, we need our mechanics. We need those wrench turners. And they are part of the history of this Artemis program. So I do always bring that in to say, no, not everyone will go the college route. But there's always the trades that is very lucrative and very purposeful. So I always talk about that as well to say that's a part that I don't know if AI could beat us there. So, you know, let's keep our eye on the trades as well. Let's not forget the trades.
That's a very interesting point you make, because most of us, when we think about the space industry, we think about the astronauts. We think of those, you know, the Apollo 13 movie with all the engineers and the control center and everything. But we don't think about the guys with the wrenches.
Exactly.
Building the actual rockets and the engines and everything. So that's
the heartbeat. Yes.
And the pipe fitters, the metal workers, as you said, the wrench turners. Now, that's a wonderful point. And if AI takes over that, it's going to be way past the time that we're all gone. Yep. You've earned other recognition here. Palm Beach Illustrated, and Brian came across it, and he called me excitedly about it. Tell us what that was about, what the recognition was, and not for the recognition per se. You're very humble, but why it matters as you continue to tell your story. What was that all about?
You know, as I said, I love my job, and this is why I'm sitting here, but I always say that's the tool. And the tool leads me to the purpose that leads me to the impact. And so for me, being a visionary, and that's what they awarded me for, is the impact that I'm able to make on the community. And that's the most important thing for me is, can I impact lives in this purposeful walk of mine? That's what I say. That's the journey. That's the important part, is the impact.
And you were named in Palm Beach Illustrated as one of their 100 visionary leaders in Palm Beach County. So she's too humble to say it outright, so we will for you. That's pretty cool. You did say in a note, said, listen, I know it's about me. I know it's about my team. And if I can use that wonderful accolade to help me continue to tell our story,
yes,
then I'll do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is our story. And I have a wonderful team that backs me. And I am the program manager, but again, they make it easy. So all of what we do, it's not just one person, it is a we. And we do change lives. We do open up the vision. We do give children the opportunity to say, hey, I can go to the moon. Not just build the rockets or the engines to get you there, but we can go to the moon.
And we will eventually put a woman,
yes,
and person of color on the moon. We toss around diversity and diverse workforce a lot. But in a real world way, how does it make your workplace better? And have you seen that continued arc of that diversity as it's grown over your 20 years? And talk about that.
Absolutely. You know, one of our leaders, past leaders, he helped put diversity in a nutshell for me. And the lights went on the way he said it. If you had everyone who had the same thoughts, worked the same way, you can't problem solve. You can't really get to the root of problem solving. You really need a diverse way of thinking. And that doesn't just come from gender or race. It comes from all walks. You know, it's really, that's why I say from the young to the wise. The young teach me so much because they're coming in with this great energy and new technology and new. And then the wise, just from their walk of experience and the mistakes they made, they give you that. And so when you come to diversity, it's a journey of everything. And we are better when we're able to bring the backgrounds of everyone and their experiences, and we can problem solve better, because that diversity of thinking is what will give you different perspectives. So I think it's really important that we put it in a nutshell of, it's not just what we think, gender, race, it is broader than that. And you need all of that, especially in an industry like this, for problem solving and getting to the root and thinking differently and inventing and getting better. You need all of that diversity.
Do you think you're a little bit younger than Brian and me? You're looking forward to the day also when we push past the moon to Mars? I thought as a kid, I thought in 1969 we were heading to Mars in a few years. But for you, look at that smile.
We're going there. Right. That's the point. You know, it's moon to Mars. We're getting there.
And you're going to keep recruiting and everything else. Let me ask you, because my wife occasionally says she'd like to send me to the moon one way. No, I just... kidding. But any chance you're going to have enough pull to get like an unmarked payload, say around 200 pounds, that when that day comes that you could sneak on to the...
that I could sneak on?
Well, just, yeah. I don't need makeup, and I'll be very, 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 very quiet. Is that a no, Nicole?
Not a no. You know what? As I said, anything is possible.
I'm dreaming. I'm so inspired by you
dreaming.
Being here.
Anything is possible.
Yeah, I'm kind of not overly holding my breath there. No, it's just neat because to have that next generation. Yes, Brian, that's a little Star Trek. You knew I wasn't going to get through the whole thing. Are you a Star Trek fan?
Not really. Oh. My brothers were, but I'm sorry. I don't mean to disappoint you.
Okay.
Not really.
Wow, Nicole.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad I asked towards the tail end of an otherwise really fun interview.
Because I might fail on this part if you start talking
about Well, we're done here. No. Okay.
Well, she's more concerned that at some point she won't be needed anymore because everybody will be beaming up to, to
you
the
know,
moon.
It's honestly and truly, I was talking today and I was like, the amount of launches that we're doing a year, it's going to be like... just driving a car eventually. That's it. The day may come.
You see that?
The day may come. Mm-hmm.
Do you see, there's such a worry about enough. In fact, FAU's in the heart of a city that's done a lot with STEM and all the way back to its old IBM days, but STEM's a big deal in Boca. But there is a nationwide concern that we just don't have enough people who have your verve and vigor and intelligence and that of the people you're recruiting. How hard is it, generally speaking, I'm not talking particularly about your company, but just to have more Nicoles out there to tell that story, to tell that message that we need that. I would think that that's a big deal for everybody.
It is. It is. But you know what? By me telling my story, I tell the importance of more of us getting out there to bring more into the workforce, because it is important. We have to keep inspiring, and we have to keep showing the beauty of this work. I think that's where it comes, is that when they see me walk in the door, they see my counterparts walk in the door, they can see it to achieve it.
What was the most poignant moment or message one of those young people ever gave you, either then or later, maybe even years later, as you look back?
That they gave me, the messaging. I think, again, it's just, this is a true story. I had a father who was so concerned about his daughter getting into the industry, and I promised him, I said, you know, it is safe, and she'll be fine, and she's going to excel, and she's going to be great. And to have that, to see that story come back and her get into the industry and do well, I think just the messaging of knowing she got in and did well, that's all I needed. I don't need to hear words. I just need to see the results.
Final thoughts?
You know, the final thoughts are I'm grateful. I do pinch myself. I'm grateful that I'm able to be highlighted for the work in the community, but it really is a we and not a me. And I just want to keep getting that story out, that I would like to see more children get into this industry and experience the joys and the thrills of STEM, you know.
Beautiful story, beautiful message. Thank you, sir, for reading that article the other day. Brian and I'd like to come help build them. The math and science could be a...
Well, one of the reasons I'm not a scientist is because my science teachers realized I was better off as a writer.
We'll help tell your stories, which is important. Nicole Cummings with L3Harris, Aerojet Rocketdyne, part of the team that will eventually, one day, and she'll be smiling as part of that small group, says, I help put them there, back
Thank
on
you.
The moon someday. We appreciate you being our guest.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Our absolute pleasure. Closing thoughts from you, sir.
Well, I just, as a young fella who watched us go to the moon, it was such an exciting time, and I'm looking forward to you helping us have that exciting time again.
Thank you. Thank you. I look forward to it as well.
Appreciate you being our guest. We appreciate you, as always, joining us as we continue with Top of Mind Florida. I'd always look for interesting people. This certainly qualifies as just a wonderful guest today, Nicole Cummings. We appreciate you being along with us today on To The Point, or excuse me, To The Mind. I knew I'd do that eventually. That was my old show with my old session. Top of Mind, Florida. That was inevitable that was going to happen, Brian. Take care.
Thank you.